We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do the damn thing, baby. What's up? Upstate South Carolina, happy Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. What's shaking, y'all? Good to be with you. Once again, 3 minutes after the top of the hour, hit 'em with it, Diesel.
Stick to sports.
Yes, sir. You know that's what we do. That's all we do. We stick to sports all day long. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. So good to be back with you once again on a Friday afternoon. Looking ahead to week 14 in college football. It feels, Diesel, it somehow feels like we both started the season yesterday and we're already wrapping it up, and also simultaneously feels like we started the season 16 long years ago, and it's just dragged on this whole time. Either way, I think today when I was going through the schedule, starting to look at the games, starting to look at the teams I was going to be picking in our pick segment coming up in a little while, I kind of hit the point where I realized, Diesel, sadly, we only got a couple of weeks of college football left before we go back into the darkness.
Yeah, I know. College football season is kind of like your first time with a woman. It comes too slow, and then it's gone too fast.
All right. So that's how Diesel's starting the show off today. Great, great, great start. Great, out of the gate, strong comes Diesel. Good enough for me. we have got here's the thing, and this is what's really kind of a bummer. And, you know, part of this is because of the conference-only scheduling. Part of it is because of the coronavirus. And part of it is just because college football has an inequality problem from top to bottom, and we seem to exacerbate it just a little bit more every single year. But if you look down the NCAA football schedule for the weekend, there's not really a lot of uber-attractive football games, right? Like, there's just not. Ohio State is at Michigan State. And even with a number of players out, even with Ryan Day out because of the Rona, Michigan State is a 21-plus point favorite over Sparty. Number five, Texas A&M at Auburn. I mean, maybe there's some element of intrigue to that one because we know Gus Malzahn is a guy who is kind of like Will Muschamp. Never good enough to take you to the next level, but always seems to find a way to snag a dub or two that keep him employed. Could this be that weekend? But other than that, Kellen Mond and Texas A&M should be heavy favorites. Oklahoma State at TCU, I guess. I mean, and then you look down the rest of the schedule, and, you know, if you're like Diesel and I, and you'll take any football being good football, you got a rivalry game down in the great state of Alabama with Troy at USA. That one's got some potential to be okay. Syracuse is like a 24.5-point dog to Notre Dame. Florida is like a 14.5-point favorite over Tennessee. West Virginia at Iowa State a few years ago could have been interesting. Maybe. Indiana at Wisconsin is probably the best matchup we have tomorrow at 3:30 with the Hoosiers ranked number 12, the Badgers at number 16. But remember, the Badgers are not Big Ten championship game eligible, so this is just a quest to ruin Indiana's season. Will they, won't they? I don't know. I mean, maybe that's an intriguing game. But as I look down there, Vanderbilt, Georgia does nothing. Stanford, Washington does nothing. Georgia Tech, NC State. I mean, Diesel, I got to tell you, looking down the schedule top to bottom, and we are missing some regular rivalry games, right? Alabama-LSU every year is supposed to be a highlight game for the nation in the SEC West. LSU, a historic level underdog. They are 24.5-point dogs as the defending national champs. And here's the crazy part. 24.5 in the line is moving up because the late money is coming in on Alabama to freaking cover. Unbelievable. Here is a statement, Diesel, that has never been said before. And maybe it'll get said again and maybe it won't. The most intriguing game in college football this weekend is being hosted by the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina. Yeah, I know. I agree. I'm also shocked into silence. The Chanticleers at Brooks Stadium in Conway, South Carolina, are hosting BYU. By the way, we had somebody text us yesterday on the text line at 71307 and tell us, go look up tickets to that game. Go see what tickets are going for. Diesel, I'll give you a stab in the dark here on the Rob Brown Show Home Edition. I am, as we speak, looking at VividSeats.com, which are selling the tickets for this game. Do you want to take a stab at what the cheapest tickets available for Coastal Carolina hosting the Cougs of BYU? Take a stab at the cheapest tickets available right now from VividSeats.com.
Well, they're only allowing, what, about 5,000 in that stadium?
Yep.
Something like that. So that obviously dramatically increases the scarcity of tickets. I'm going to ballpark it and guess $250.
$350.
Are you, by the way, are you ready for the cavalcade of people tweeting how fugly that teal turf is? I mean, the whole nation is about to be exposed to that terrible decision. It's terrible when when Boise State did it. It was terrible when Eastern Washington put down the red turf. It was terrible when Central Arkansas or somebody put down purple and gray turf.
Yep.
It's a bad decision every single time.
Who was? We had a team that went red one year, like
Eastern,
bright red.
Yeah, Eastern Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
Ewu.
Ewu. I gotta tell you,
still bright red, by the way.
Call me a millennial or a new age or whatever negative derogatory name you want to call me, but I gotta tell you, Diesel, I kind of like the colored turf.
Stop.
I kind of like it.
Don't you dare.
I only have one problem with it, and the only problem that I have with it, and this used to absolutely tee me off about Boise, is when you go colored turf, which I don't mind at all. I like the colored turf. I think it's a different look, and as you guys know, I'm all about things that make my program stand out. The problem I always have with Boise State with the blue turf Smurfs is that then they would wear an identical shade of blue jersey, pants,
yeah,
helmet, socks, and cleats, and literally become invisible. Remember, they had that year, and I can't remember what year it was, but they had that year where on a kickoff return, they had a guy lay down on like the 5-yard line. He lays down. Mm-hmm. And he's legit invisible on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just invisible on
the
field.
Dirty pool is what it is.
It 100% is. They rock the blue pants, the blue shirt, the blue socks, the blue long sleeves, the blue hat, no trim on the jerseys. And this guy, like, lays down on the floor. And once the ball's kicked, he jumps up. They throw it over to him. The dude's wide open. He takes off down the field. That, to me, is hot garbage, but I still think it looks cool. I like the teal. I like the teal look for the Chanticleers.
I think the teal is worse than all the rest.
Why?
Because it's just close enough to actual turf color that it really makes you feel like your TV's color balance is all off. Like, you know, if you're looking at red turf, you're like, okay, it's red turf. You know that if you're looking at dark blue turf, it's dark blue. You know that purple is purple and gray is gray. when you're looking at teal, you're like, wait a minute, did somebody has the kid been screwing with the remote? Did the dog fall asleep on the remote? What
the
happened?
The cameraman forgot to white balance.
Yeah.
That's a technical term. I like it. I like it. I think it's a good look. With those kind of golden end zones with the white lettering.
Well,
in
you
it.
Also
like
thought
it.
Your haircut was a good idea, so.
Have you seen me?
Yes, I have.
I'm good looking. I'm just saying. All right, 844-GSP, ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we can filter through all of our political texts and read yours on the air. You can also tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on radio, at ESPN Upstate. It's the opening segment, Diesel. That means it's time for...
It's time for this texter to say, tell me that I'm right. ESPN, exactly right about the color balance. Uh-huh.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud that you got somebody to agree with you on something, Diesel.
It's the lunch breakdown.
It took 9 months of me being here, but Diesel got somebody to agree with him on color balancing on a TV. I respect it. It is a lunch breakdown. The three things you have to know before you go start talking sports with your friend, families, coworkers, or the wall, whoever you spend your lunch break with. Item number one, we have a projected date for the first puck to drop in the National Hockey League. The NHL is aiming for a mid-January start date with a 52 or 56 game schedule at best, according to ESPN. Now, the initial target date of January 1st became unfeasible because of necessary time for training camp plus extra time promised to the seven teams that did not make this summer's expanded playoff field, as well as quarantine protocols in some markets. As of yesterday, NHL players had yet to receive any official directive of when they are supposed to report back to their playing cities. Players are currently scattered at their offseason homes, including many, which are across the pond. TSN first reported the mid-January start date. ESPN came into agreement with that just a few hours later. As of this morning, there have not been any meaningful conversations between the NHL and the NHLPA about potential schedules, formats, or protocols. First, the sides must get past a financial stalemate that is in place right now. Owners wanting additional cash flow to kickstart the season have asked players to tweak their financial arrangement, including a deferral of salary beyond the 10% they already agreed to in the summertime. Players have pushed back on making any changes to their financial agreement, considering they just signed a new CBA. Yesterday, Gary Bettman said that NHL owners are not pushing to break that CBA, but they are asking to tweak some numbers within it to take into consideration the COVID financial issues that have struck the league. We will see how that plays out. But the good news for hockey fans at this point is that we now know that we have a start date. We now know that we have a start date to keep an eye on to see exactly what the next direction will be for the National Hockey League. Item numero dos. An underdog of historic proportions. We mentioned this to you earlier in the segment, but LSU, in the past 40 seasons, no defending college football national champion has ever been as big of an underdog as LSU is this week against top-ranked Alabama. Check this out. I told you, Diesel, that the line in this game was 24.5. I told you that because earlier in the week, that's where ya boy dropped a few dimes on Alabama to cover. 24.5. Looked like an easy cover for me. That was 3 days ago, Diesel. They were 24.5. The line today, 29.5 point favorites. 29.5 point favorites. It is the largest underdog spread for a defending national champion in the past 40 seasons. There is only one other team that has ever been a 20-point dog when they were defending their national championship. For that, you got to go all the way back to Auburn in 2011. They were 20-point dogs not once but twice in 2011. They were 21-point dogs to Alabama, a game that they would lose 42-14. And then they were 21-point dogs to LSU, a game they would lose 45-10. They were also 12-point dogs to Georgia. They lost 45-7. And way back in 98, Nebraska was an 11-point dog to Kansas State. They lost that game by 10, 40-30. That's the only four times in modern history that teams have been double-digit underdogs as you're defending national champions. That line moving this morning from 24.5 all the way to 29.5. If you followed my advice earlier in the week when I told you that 24.5 was gimme free money, you're welcome. 10% of your winnings can be sent to me via Venmo. And finally, item number three, and I saved this one for last, Diesel, because I'm very curious as to your thoughts on it. The Knight Commission, which is a commission of athletics leaders, recommended Thursday that the best way to repair the NCAA's broken governance model is to remove the FBS from the association and force the top level of college football to govern itself as a separate entity. The Knight Commission is a reform-minded, independent group of university presidents, former athletic directors, and others. They spent the last year studying the current state of college sports before making their recommendation yesterday. After surveying a wide swath of college sports stakeholders, the group said, according to ESPN, that it discovered that many leaders in the industry believe the time has come for significant change. It decided that the most effective way to solve a variety of problems is to separate football, an outlier of a sport because of the vast and quickly increasing difference in the revenue it generates. Knight Commission co-chair Arne Duncan told ESPN, quote, "Every other sport looks like a duck and walks like a duck and probably is a duck. That one looks like a pterodactyl. It's not like the others, and it's had a wildly disproportionate impact on everything else. It doesn't make sense." Now, the commission obviously does not have any authority to enact change in college sports, but its leaders hope that the recommendation will serve as an essential first step in what they see as a needed overhaul of how college sports are governed. The group met with NCAA President Mark Emmert yesterday morning to present its recommendation. It also plans to present its findings to other members of the NCAA for further discussion in the near future. The NCAA said in a response statement that, quote, "The governance and oversight of college sports are determined by the presidents of the schools who participate. The nearly 1,100 presidents of the NCAA schools have consistently sought to create the most effective and fair ways to support student-athletes. Presently, the NCAA is discussing the long-term sustainability of intercollegiate athletics. The discussions are focused on promoting the education, health, and safety and fair treatment of college athletes. NCAA members within Division I have long sought to include a diverse representation of schools while supporting all student-athletes in similar ways. The commission's proposal to separate FBS football from the NCAA would leave those big-time football programs in charge of creating a new entity that would develop and enforce rules, determine eligibility requirements, set health and safety standards, and organize a national championship. The NCAA obviously currently provides all of those services for college football except for organizing a championship. Under this proposed plan, all other sports at those FBS schools would remain under the NCAA's governance system, which includes college basketball and March Madness, which remains the largest revenue source for the NCAA. Lower levels of football would also remain under the NCAA's purview. Diesel, any reaction to that at all?
Not surprised. Not surprised at all. But does anybody not realize that it'll be total chaos for a couple of years while the FBS football starts its own commission, decides its rules, and starts to implement those rules? We all know that, like, everybody's, oh, I've got a common sense plan. It's like five bullet points. Well, that's not going to work. You know, a five-point plan is not going to work for governing college football. It's just not going to work. So it's going to be a heck of a lot more intricate and detailed than anyone thinks, and that takes time to put together.
He ain't wrong. He ain't wrong, and you got to wonder if it creates some sort of power vacuum that might create more problems than it intends to. By the way, the Night Commission, and I'll read this last one, and then we'll run to a break. The Night Commission also made several other recommendations for all college sports. The NCAA and its proposed National College Football Association to reform its current model. They include holding university presidents accountable for controlling their athletic departments, making sure revenue is distributed in a way that promotes schools' educational missions, and a continued prohibition on allowing players to be paid. So it is not all sunshine and roses. We'll address this further later on in the show. Let's take a quick break. When we come back here in just a minute, women's basketball. South Carolina had a game against NC State last night, and the streak is over. We'll break that game down for you when we come back on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You know, sometimes the hardest part of being on top of the mountain is that slip. The higher you are, the harder the fall on the way back down. And it was a long night for Dawn Staley's Gamecocks of South Carolina last night. Upset 54-46 on the Gamecocks' home floor by the Wolfpack of NC State. The Wolfpack opened up a 21-20 halftime lead, and it was a defensive fight that it took to take down the nation's number one program on the road. The Wolfpack improved to 3-17 all time in matchups with number one teams. Both teams struggled to score buckets for most of the game, but the Wolfpacks snagged a few very valuable three-pointers down the stretch that tilted the momentum just enough into their favor. It was the first loss for South Carolina since last November, following a 32-1 2019-2020 season that was obviously cut short by the COVID-19 crisis. South Carolina's Lady Gamecocks were a heavy favorite heading into what would have been March Madness. The lead bounced back and forth for most of the night of a tight second half until NC State took a relatively large four-point staggering lead with 1:50 left to play, but they held the ball and the lead with 55 seconds remaining until South Carolina's Zaya Cook picked Kay Crutchfield's pocket for a steal and a layup, cut the Gamecocks' deficit to two, put the pressure back on the Wolfpack. But Kayla Jones played hero ball on the other end. A no-hesitation three-point shot from the top of the key extended the Wolfpack lead back out to 53-46, and with 20 seconds remaining on the clock, 7 points had it just out of reach. Kayla Jones would lead all scorers with 16 and 12 boards on top of it. The best shooter on a sloppy night. She was 6 of 13 from the floor, hit 2 for 2 from behind the arc. NC State overcame just a 29.4% shooting effort from the floor. But here's the note. They kept South Carolina to 27% from the floor. Looking at the box score, it's a pretty obvious tale of the tape of what happened for Carolina. Just could not put the brown thing in the round thing when it came down to it in clutch time. Aaliyah Boston, 4 of 14. Destiny Henderson, 1 of 13. Zaya Cook, 4 of 18. Letitia Amir, 5 of 16. Lily Grissett was the only player who had an effective shooting night. 21 minutes on the floor. She went 4 for 4 from the floor on the evening. South Carolina, like we mentioned, shooting 27% from the floor, less than 17% from the arc. And on top of that, you want to know what the biggest difference was? And look, this is as true for the women's game as it is the men's. This is as true at the NBA level as it is at the Little League level. Free throws will win you or lose you basketball games. That's a fact. The difference in this game was 8 points when it came down to it. All right, 8 points. Check out these numbers. North Carolina from the free throw line, 10 of 12. All right, 10 of 12. South Carolina from the free throw line, 4 of 11. 4 of 11. There is 6 points worth of difference right there from the free throw line. That's it. That's it. It wasn't all it. I mean, you got to shoot better than 27%. Going 16% behind the arc is not ideal. It's really not ideal. 2 for 12 from distance, including a 1 of 5 effort from Zaya Cook. Not going to get it done for you. NC State wasn't having a free-for-all offensively. I mean, they were only 29.4%, but they were 23.5% from behind the line and 83% plus from the charity stripe. There's the difference in the ballgame. If you shoot, let's say, 23% from behind the arc, you win that game. If you go 85% from the line instead of 36%, you win that basketball game. The good news for the Gamecocks is this is the anomaly, all right? This is the offset. This is the outsider. This is the anomaly in the fly in the ointment, as the traditionally Southern proverb would to go. Let me put it this way. That was the worst performance I have seen out of South Carolina in the last year and a half. But again, the anomaly, the exception, not the rule. I suspect they will bounce back sooner rather than later. Don Staley has got to get these girls, though, slowing down, getting into sets, and knocking down shots. I mean, look, I know it sounds relatively obvious to say, hey, you want to win a basketball game, you got to shoot your buckets. Yeah, obviously, dummy. Yeah, turns out you get more points when the ball goes through the net. But I'm talking about the obvious stuff. I'm talking about free throws. I'm talking about wide open threes that aren't following. I'm talking about forcing contested threes, which was something we saw a bit of last night. That's not going to work. You got to run your sets. Don't let somebody else dictate. And that's not something that's happened for the Lady Gamecocks under Don Staley. That's not a thing that traditionally has been the way that this team played. Traditionally, they're the ones dictating the tempo. They're the ones dictating the offense. Wasn't that way last night. NC State came into Columbia, told the Don Staley's club, this is how we're going to play this game tonight, and they could not respond. Quick break. We'll come back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. What's shaking Upstate South Carolina? Tremendous to be with you as always. Phone lines open, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us 71307, 71307. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate. Always for you to get in touch with the program today. Coming up at 1:30, Matt Justice, who is the new play-by-play man for your Greenville Swamp Rabbits, is going to join us right here on the show. Again, that's at 1:30. Matt will be joining us. The Swamp Rabbits set to play their first preseason game tomorrow at the Bonscore Wellness Center. It is hockey season in the upstate, baby! Finally! Finally, we lace up the ice knives and get out there with the murder sticks and play a little hockey. Could not be more excited about it. Matt's going to join us coming up at 1:30 to introduce himself to you here around the upstate, to talk to us a little bit about what he has seen so far around the Swamp Rabbits organization and to give us a little preview of what we can expect to see out on the ice beginning tomorrow when the Swamp Rabbits take to said ice for the very first time. Really looking forward to that. I want to tell you this story real quick just because I found it funny. There's not a lot of depth to it. I just absolutely love it. We have been talking for a couple of days now, about Tiger Woods because his son, Charlie, shocking, I know, pretty good at golf. And Charlie has been, for a while, lobbying for Eldrick to let him play in the PNC Championship. The PNC Championship is kind of a fun little tournament. It's a tournament that lets major champions compete as a team with a family member. Well, Charlie is 11 years old, and Charlie finally got to commit to the tournament. Eldrick and Charlie will be taking on the rest of the field in the Father-Son Challenge, which will be held December 19th and 20th at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club in Orlando, Florida. Well, what's interesting about it is that Justin Thomas won the 2017 PGA Championship and became eligible for the tournament that began in 1995. He is playing with his father, Mike, who is a Kentucky Club pro, and his coach. Thomas said earlier this week, quote, "Tiger and I talked about it a bunch. He brought it up a while ago that Charlie wanted to play, and Charlie really wanted to play with us. I've obviously gotten to know him well, and he knows my dad a little bit as well. For some reason, Charlie just always wants to beat me. It doesn't matter what it is, although he's never beaten me in golf or a putting contest, he still talks trash just like his dad. It will be fun. We'll have that, like, inner tournament within a tournament. Try to shut his little mouth up, but it will be fun," end quote. That, Diesel, is a full-grown tour PGA professional talking junk to an 11-year-old kid about whooping him in a tournament, and I am here for it.
Hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but a win is a win. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I will talk trash to my 10-year-old niece when I beat her at Nerf basketball because a win is a win.
I am going to dunk over my 7-year-old cousin on that little Pikes basketball goal.
Yeah.
Get nerfed, kid. Don't come in my – I will throw your junk into the kindergarten playground like Dikembe Mutombo, son. Get out of here. I love Justin Thomas talking crap to Tiger Woods' 11-year-old kid. Quote, "Try to shut his little mouth up," end quote.
But I'll
That's
bet
incredible.
You, has that little kid been talking trash back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's the best part. Thomas said, quote, "For some reason, Charlie just always wants to beat me. It doesn't matter what it is, although he's never beat me in golf or a putting contest. He still talks trash just like his dad," end quote.
Have you been keeping up at all with this drum-off between Dave Grohl and the 10-year-old girl on YouTube?
Isn't that
YouTube?
Incredible?
It's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
It's kind of the same situation as this girl just started putting together amazing drum videos and dogging Dave Grohl on social media. So he said, okay, you know what? We're going to have us a challenge. And they started sending each other drum videos back and forth through YouTube. And it's fantastic PR. That's the whole thing. It's all fantastic PR. And then finally, they did a live stream where they just went head-to-head. And both of them, you know, Dave Grohl is obviously one of the greatest drummers in rock right now. And he just goes flat out, said, look, I got smoked. I couldn't compete with this 10-year-old girl. She's just better than me.
Her name is Nande Bushell.
Yep.
She is British, I believe. And if you have not seen the videos, NandiBushell. If you are a music fan, if you are a Dave Grohl fan, which I am, I believe that Dave Grohl is the King Midas of music. Everything that man touches turns to gold. Go to YouTube and pull it up because there are just video after video of them sending videos back and forth, which ended with Dave Grohl finally conceding defeat to Nande Bushell. And here's the thing. It always kind of – and I know, like this is why it's probably good that – I haven't mailed it out yet, so it's probably good I don't have kids yet – obviously, I feel like if I'm in a contest with a kid, I let the kid win, Diesel, until the kid starts actively talking junk, in which case my only mission becomes to humiliate that child, right? Like, I am going to teach you to accept victory with humility, or else I am going to dominate you in whatever this is that we're doing. Dude, Grohl didn't hold back on this little girl.
No.
Like, Grohl was bringing Dave Grohl to the table. And this little, and you watch her play, and the reason I love her, and I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time on this, but the reason I love her, Diesel, dude, she wears her passion on her face when she's playing.
Yes.
Like, she loves playing rock and roll on the drums. And you, in the middle of this fight, she is, like, looking in the camera and screaming at Dave Grohl like she's in the midst of the greatest punk song of all time. And Grohl's, like, intently staring in the camera because he's giving her everything he's got. And she beats him. And it's just the most – and it's maybe the best feel-good thing that's happened on Twitter this year.
Easily.
I love it.
Easily.
I love it. All right, quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. 844-477-3776. 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us 71307. Quick break. We're back after this. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to Rob Brown Show, wrapping up hour number one. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we're going to take a skim down our college football weekend. Only a couple of weeks remaining in the schedule here for college football. And to tell you the truth, this weekend, not a great one in terms of matchups. And we knew coming in that without intra-conference rivalries and matchups, we weren't going to get a whole heck of a lot going on. But with just, two more weeks to go after this one, we're kind of at a point now. We're kind of at a point now where it just is what it is, especially considering teams that are not in play for conference championships are, losing players and coaches starting to look for new jobs. So you know that they're not necessarily fully committed to the program, et cetera. It's just the unfortunate reality of 2020. And, you go back to April and May when we had no sports going on. I remember Diesel and I having conversations where I told him, you know what, I will never complain about sports being bad from now on if we have sports. That promise got broken about 6 months later. So with that being said, I am interested. I am intrigued by the way that this has played out and the way that college football has kind of been shoved into a corner, right? I mean, again, I'm looking down the schedule for week 14, and there's two games that look like they'll really have an impact on the way that things shape out. Even if I stretch for it, like Miami at Duke. I mean, Miami, by definition, is still in the hunt for the ACC title. I mean, it would take Clemson losing a pair of unlosable games to get them there. But, I mean, I guess technically Miami at Duke is in play. Alabama at LSU is not in play because Alabama's going to win the West. There's no doubt about that at this point. I think if they lose two games, then Texas A&M might have – no, because they got the tie. So it doesn't matter. South Carolina is at Kentucky this weekend. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say this in a negative way. Of course it matters to you if you're a Gamecock fan. But in the grand scheme of things, nobody's getting all hot and bothered about, South Carolina – at Kentucky. Oregon at Cal is now an irrelevant game in the grand scheme of things. Again, it's a game that if you're a Oregon fan or a Cal fan, you're all in for. But ultimately, that Oregon loss to Oregon State meant that it didn't matter. It doesn't matter at this point. So you got BYU at Coastal Carolina, which may have an impact. You got Florida at Tennessee, which if Florida loses at Tennessee, which they won't, it could have an impact. Texas A&M at Auburn, Ohio State at Michigan State, and that's basically it. But we'll break them down anyway. And coming up at 1:30, we'll have the play-by-play voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits joining us here on the show. The Rob Brown Show rolls on next. It's ESPN Upstate.